Milo family. My name is Harry. I am a recovered alcoholic. I thank Phil for asking me to speak. And Paulie came up to me and said, he hears we have a good speaker. And I said, I'm glad that you guys asked me back. I'm sort of, I got to tell you something. I hate speaking. I go through this ritual when I come to meetings. I go through these heaves and this whole ritual before I get to a meeting and I start. I hate speaking, but I know I have to. It says in the big book, it says that it's my permanent recovery. My permanent sobriety is contingent upon me carrying this message. My personality is very similar to a good friend of mine's, where I'm somewhat of an introvert, but yet an extrovert at the same time. And sort of I sort of glide between the both, vacillate between the both personality types. And I'm a little shy and stuff, but once a spirit gets going, and once I've been called to be a channel of peace, I believe. In step 12, it says that we've been uniquely fashioned. We've been uniquely fashioned, and I believe I've been uniquely fashioned to help alcoholics. And last week we talked about the powerlessness, the first step, second step, third step, and I was powerless, and we talked about the presenting problem for me that I was powerless over alcohol, that I suffered from a mental obsession, physical craving, spiritual malady. That was the presenting problem. That once I started, I couldn't stop, and once I stopped, I couldn't stay stopped. That I suffered from this obsession, I suffered from a spiritual malady. And it's one of the things we're going to look at today is the spiritual malady. You know, is that's what we really suffer from, is a spiritual malady, and that the presenting problem of alcoholism. So your journey into recovery is not just a journey away from the drink or a journey away from alcohol. It's a departure from selfishness. The selfishness and self-centeredness, that was my problem. That was my real problem. So we're going to look at how the various manifestations of self and how the various manifestations of self present themselves, and these things have the capability of blocking me from the sunlight of the spirit. That I have my selfishness comes in various forms, in resentment, fears, sexual misconduct, harms done to others. And these things have the potential to block me off from God. And if left unchecked, I'm brought to a place where I'm drinking again. I'm brought to a place where I'm no longer... See, one of the points of this process, the 12-step process, I always say this, in short, it's designed to remove that which is blocking me from the grace of God. It's designed to remove the blocks, the impediments, and the obstacles that are blocking me from the grace of God, entering in and expelling the mental obsession to drink. So now, the spiritual malady is overcome, and as a result of the spiritual malady being overcome, I straighten up mentally and physically. And that's as a result of going through this process and going through this work. What is it that I have that you want? It is a spiritual awakening as a result of all these steps. It is a spiritual awakening, and that's what the objective of the 12 steps is. And so, last week we talked about step 1, step 2, step 3, step 2. See, I had to be open-minded in step 2. I had to come to believe and have that open-mindedness. God could and would if you were sought. That there was... not just belief and faith, but just the willingness to believe that a power greater than myself could restore me to sanity. And make that decision in step 3 to turn my will and my life over to the care of God. And after that decision, I was given a set of instructions right after, not a year later, a month later. When I first came in, it was a step a year. That didn't work for me. So I was given succinct instructions that next we launched out on a course of vigorous action that was a personal house cleaning, which I never really did. And my decision, which was the third step, was a vital and crucial one. It could have little permanent effect unless at once followed with a strenuous effort to face and be rid of that which was blocking me from God, that which was blocking me from the Son of the Spirit. Our liquor was but a symptom. So what was our liquor? You know, is not the physical craving a symptom? Is not the spiritual, the mental obsession a symptom? So my liquor was my physical craving, mental obsession. You know, we had to get down to causes and conditions. The causes and conditions were the spiritual malady. And it goes down, at the rest of that page, it talks about a business inventory. And that business inventory, in early AAs, they talk about that being, like in 46 and 47, 48, that being the basis for the morals and assets, the liability checklist, and amongst other things. And it talks about resentment being the number one offender. That in the Latin, that word resentare is to feel again, to re-feel. So resentment is, it kills more alcoholics than anything else. That has the power to kill me. That if you step on my toe, you know, I want to retaliate. You know, I want to get back at you, and then you become part of my grudge list. You know, if I ever get to that point. The resentment has the power to kill, and so I need to face and be rid of these things. In step four, I'm facing these things. I'm taking a written inventory. Step four is we made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. So, you know, I was looking at, you know, the resentments, you know, how people got me angry. And they, from day one, they told me, I didn't go through no moral and assets liabilities. I didn't go through this. I didn't go through that. Four columns. That's what they told me. And the fourth step is not three inventories, not four inventories. It's five inventories in the fourth step. Okay, some people do three inventories, that's fine. Some people do four. My sponsor has told me five inventories, okay? And so in the resentment, the four columns, you know, I was to put, and I'm probably preaching to the choir here. A lot of people here know how to do it ad infinitum, but the first column is, you know, the person, institution, principle. Second column is why we were angry. Third column is the seven areas of self that it affected, you know, self-esteem, pride, ego, personal relationships, ambition, security. You know, all these areas that are affected in my life, and then you know, something in between column three and column four. As I look at the resentment, I'm to pray for the person. Okay, I'm to pray. And one of the things I'm working with today that I wasn't working with years ago was that I always used to call it a resentment prayer, or it was the resentment prayer, or it was called the fourth step prayer. But you know, it's been given to me the forgiveness prayer. It's been passed to me as the forgiveness prayer, and it's 12 points to it. And however you look at it, that's the essence of it. I'm forgiving the person. I'm taking that resentment, and I'm asking God to help me show this person the same pity, patience, and tolerance I would cheerfully grant a sick friend. When the person offended, I said to myself, this is a sick man. How can I be helpful to him? You know, so I need to let go. I need to let go. Forgive, because some of my spiritual teachers used to talk about the theater of the lie, and how these manifestations of self, these characters, these stage characters were playing my mind. And you had the spiritual Harry, you had the warrior, you had the different guys in there in the committee that wanted to come up to bat and start retaliating, but they have shown me that now I need to forgive. Okay, like, you know, because I can't objectively, and this is what inventory does. Inventory takes that which is subjective in my mind, because I suffer from a racing mind. I don't know about you, but I suffer from a racing mind. The hamster's on the wheel. So it takes that which is subjective and puts it down on paper. That's why writing is so important. None of this Microsoft Word, none of this, you know, verbal stuff. Take paper to pen. There's something that happens when we take paper to pen and our hearts connect. And we really connect and we start writing. And I believe that if you're getting real, you know, you can only write down what your heart has given you, and you're getting real. And so, you know, it takes that which is subjective, and it puts it on paper and makes it objective. I could see it for what it is. So many times in the resentment, I get to the fourth column. I'm like, you know, I'm fearful, but I'm afraid. But I see where I'm to blame. I see it for what it is, and it takes its power away. And so I pray for the person in the column between column three and column four, and I see where I'm to blame. I see where where I'm at fault. And I just want to, because my memory fails me sometimes, the 12 parts of the forgiveness. And I was, this is what's, you know, I was told, listen, bring what's current to you right now. Don't bring 10 years ago. Don't bring 5 years ago. Bring what you're currently doing today. So currently today, I'm praying for people, 12 points in the forgiveness prayer. So I'm asking God to show them tolerance, pity, and patience. That we talked about, cheerfulness is four. A friend. Friend is the fifth point. How can I be helpful to him? God save me from being angry. Thy will be done. Avoid retaliation. So you're not only using the first portion of the paragraph, you're using two paragraphs that we avoid retaliation, argument. We wouldn't treat sick people that way. If we do, we destroy our chance of being helpful. We cannot be helpful to all people, but at least God will show us. One of the things that I've been taught and I'm carrying nowadays is that the Big Book talks about not only prayer and meditation, but prayer, meditation, and vision. So throughout the Big Book, it says, God, show us. It says, God will show us how to take a kindly and tolerant view. You know, not just tolerant, a tolerant view. There's a slight distinction there. It's a kindly and tolerant view of each and every one. So my spiritual teacher told me not only to pray, but write out a prayer and pray for the person. And, it's not what I used to do, but it's what I try to practice today. You know, there's a takeaway. The takeaway from the resentment inventory is that I'm looking at the forgiveness prayer, you know, I'm taking that away, the forgiveness prayer, and it gives us tools for our spiritual toolbox. And, it, you know, another sub-takeaway or takeaway from the resentment inventory is the fears. If there's any fears associated, it carries over to the fears. Listen, you know, so I was to take a look at my fears, face and be rid of them. Does self-reliance work? I was to write down my fears, what I was afraid of. Was I practicing God reliance or self reliance? Does self reliance work? And it's a trick question because it doesn't work. You know, does the God idea did? You know, God reliance, does that work? Yes. You know, so I needed to rely on infinite God rather than finite self. And all my, you know, one of my fears was back in the day. I'll just use it. You know, I was afraid of drinking again. Why were you afraid of? Because my first sponsor told me, keep on asking yourself why, until you come down to the least common denominator. Why are you afraid? So I was afraid of drinking. Why? Because I'll be put out of the house. Why are you afraid of that? Because I'll be out in the street. Why are you afraid of that? Because I'll steal. Why are you afraid of stealing? Because I'll go to jail. Because I can't steal from the house anymore. And mom and dad won't, you know, whatever. You know what I'm saying? They won't blame. They won't put me in jail. So, but I was afraid of being put out on the street because now I'll go to jail. And why are you afraid of going to jail? Because I don't want to go upstate. Why are you afraid to go upstate? I don't want to be subject to those things that happen upstate. And so that was a true fear. That was a real fear. You know, and so, you know, from that, why are you afraid of that? Because I don't want to drown my sorrow and emotion in jail and start drinking and doing dry goods. And why are you afraid of that, Harry? Because I'm afraid of dying. Why are you afraid of that, Harry? Because I might go to hell. I don't know. That was my belief system, or lack thereof. And my sponsor said, you're agnostic in your faith somewhere. You're agnostic in your faith somewhere. Does self-reliance work? No. So I had to rely on God. And, you know, I was to ask God to remove the fear, direct me to what He would have me be. And that's trusting. And another part of the inventory was the sex ideal. And I'm sorry, the sex misconduct. It stemmed into harms done to others. Just the relationships I just basically ruined. And I was to look at that, and I was to put that down on paper, the people I harmed in relationships. And also, I was to write down my sexual ideal, which was another inventory within itself. And, you know, I was to subject each relationship to this question or this test. Was it selfish? Was this relationship selfish? You know, all my relationships were selfish. I was like a tornado. I was, you know, I was wreaking havoc. It was all about me, you know. And so, you know, we ask God to shape a sane and sober ideal, mold our ideals. You know, today I'm not lying to get into her pants. You know what I'm saying? I'm not, you know, I don't mean to be raw, but that I'm just sharing here, okay? I tell my sponsees, you know, be honest going into the relationship, be honest during the relationship, and if need be, if there's an extraction, if there's an exit point, be honest on the way out. Just be honest. You know, it's not like we used to be. Not like when we were out there and we were, you know, running and tearing. And so I'm asking God to shape you know, and mold my ideals for a future sane and sober a sex life, relational life. That's, you know, just another list in the inventory. And then what's implicit, you know, is the harms. Another takeaway from the fourth step is the harms done to others, the stuff I stole, if I didn't, there's no resentment against the person, I'm not afraid of the person, and, you know, I didn't have sex with the person, then the person goes on the harms list. You know, if I stole from you or harmed you in any shape, form, or fashion, I need to put you down on that harms list. And that harms list goes on to be basically my eighth step. So I'm looking at this stuff and writing it down and seeing it for what it is, and I'm to take this list and make an appointment with my sponsor for the fifth step, and in the fifth step admit to God, myself, and to another human being to the exact nature of my wrongs, and go to somebody. I need to find a closed-mouthed individual, somebody who can keep a secret, somebody who will not, whose character defect is not gossip, somebody who I can trust. And, you know, in step five, it's telling me that a solitary self-appraisal is not sufficient. It's fine that I can admit it to myself, but I need to admit it to God, myself, and another human being. I need to really confess this stuff. I need to really talk about it. And if I don't, it says the best reason first is that I might pick up over it. If I skip this step, this vital step, I may pick up over it. Many of us have relapsed behind not doing this step and gone back out, and because we only thought we had humility. We only thought we had ingredient of humility, and we didn't, because we didn't tell somebody else all our life story. Some people say, oh, it's not about secrets, it's not about your sickest secrets. I don't care. I say that because it's implicit in the text. I say, you're sick as your secrets, and your secrets grow and fester in the dark, but they die in the light of God's light. And they die in the light of God's light in this step. And now, if I have a fear, and I don't want to tell you about this fear, and I want to keep this fear to myself, is that not a secret? If there's things in my life that I've done, or that I did, I don't want to let them out, and I don't want to talk, is that not a secret? So it's about admitting to the exact nature of your wrongs, and it's also about talking about that deep, dirty, dark crap that you don't want to talk about, you know? And also, the fifth step talks about doing a multiple fifth step. In other words, choosing other people to hear your story. And I'll give you an example. I talk about this all the time. First of all, I got to tell you, I went to Nassau County Correctional Facility for years and brought the 12 steps in. And so one of the things that I've learned and is important is that sometimes you need to pick somebody that has preacher penitent privileges that a court cannot subpoena. Okay, because some of us have done some stuff that we're not proud of. Some of us, you know, I don't know, listen, if you, between you and your sponsor and God, you want to get together and come to some realization that you want to do some time for something, that's fine. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying not to do that. But some of us have done certain things that we need to go to somebody who cannot be subpoenaed by a court of law that has preacher penitent privileges. Are you with me? Okay. All right. So I thought you guys were sleeping. So you know, it's important, man, because look, how free do you want to be? I want to be free. I want everything this program has for me. I want, just like I was a pig out there with my drinking, I want to be a pig in here. I'm serious. You know what I'm saying? Just like I was a pig out there, how free do I want everything this program? And you know what? This program talks about, you know, I always hear, beyond your wildest dreams. And I haven't seen that yet. But you know what? I'm starting to see glimpses of it. You know what I'm saying? I got my bachelor's degree, you know, in recovery. I got a job. I can keep money in my pocket. I'm not suffering from the mental obsession. They told me when I first came around, you're going to have a key to your own apartment. Just keep on coming. Just keep on doing what you're doing. You know, we guarantee you, if you do it, there's guarantees in the big book. If you do this, you're going to get that. If you do the 12 steps, you're going to recover. You're going to be recovered, not in recovery for the rest of your life. You're going to be recovered. The mental obsession is going to be lifted. The spiritual malady overcome. And the alcohol's not in your body, so the physical craving's not there. And so, you know, I got, you know, it's not about the external, but, you know, I'm starting to see relationships come into view, just God doing other stuff in my life. And this is a wonderful program. This is an awesome program, and I wouldn't trade it for anything. And so I had to illuminate every nook and cranny. First of all, this is a written inventory, right? So it's not a verbal one. And so now, you know, we're prepared for what? A long talk. Not a 15 minutes in the back of your car with your sponsor to a meeting. Okay? Prepare for a long talk. You know, I've done fist steps with guys, I'm no kidding, 6 hours, 7 hours, 8 hours, 9 hours, sometimes 2 hours, sometimes half an hour. Sponsorship is not cookie cutter. It's a long talk. I illuminate every nook and cranny. You know, the fist step promises start coming into view. Where I start feeling that release, you know, the fist step promises. When, for me, I didn't feel like this big bang thing. I felt like a sublime sort of, it says we start beginning to have a spiritual experience in this step. We're beginning to have a spiritual experience in the step, in the fifth step. And so this step releases us. We admit the exact nature of our wrongs, and God starts doing a work in our lives. One of the things that I was told to do was go home and to be quiet for an hour. And he told me to be like, you know, fundamentalist, go to your shelf, take the book off the shelf, but go through the first 9 proposals, which meant go through page 59 and go through each of the steps, steps 1 through 5. And what does that entail? Do you have it right? Do you understand the mental obsession, physical craving, mental obsession, first step, the open mind, the hope, and step two, there's a solution offered to us, step three, the decision, so on and so forth. And then was I mixing mortar with sand? Were the stones properly in place? I know nobody ever does the stones. Where are the stones? And I didn't know about it until my sponsor told me about it. You know, page 12, upon the foundation of complete willingness. Okay? You know, I was to have what I found and saw in my friend, Abby Thatcher. Was I to have that? Yes, I was. You know, upon the foundation of complete willingness. Page 17, the equal parts of the common solution and common problem, the cement. You know, am I mixing mortar without sand? Page 47, the cornerstone. You know, is my cornerstone in place? The keystone. Page 63, is my keystone in place? Is that decision solid? You know, last week we talked about the third step decision. Third step decision is a commitment to do the rest of the steps. A commitment to do 4 through 9, 4 through 12. Is that keystone, is that decision there? You know, and I'm to look at that. Page 91 or 97 is there's a transition, complete willingness, from just complete willingness to willingness to help others. Willingness to help others because I've had a spiritual experience. You know, because there's a transition. You know, I have to be quiet for an hour, and my spiritual teacher said to go through the work that we did in 4, go through the prayers in 4, be alone with God for an hour, and thank God that you know Him better, and pray and meditate. I was to go on to step 6, and step 6 is 15 minutes. Step 6 is fast. It was basically 2 questions. Am I now ready? You know, am I now ready to let God remove that which I found objectionable to me? Am I now ready to have Him remove that? And first question. Second question, can He remove it? Will He? Can He remove it? And if I can answer to the positive on both of them, I move on to step 7. If I can't, I'm to say the prayer, ask God for willingness. If I answer to the negative on one of those questions, I ask God for the willingness to have Him remove it. Thanks for letting me share.